RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Sandiaga Uno stated Indonesian government should restore market trust. Indonesia to chair IORA for the period 2015-2017. The government considers stabilization fund to anticipate crisis. Now the news in detail. Rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar continues to weaken. Early this week, the value of rupiah had reached 13,362 rupiah per one US dollar. National businessman Sandiaga Uno said in Jakarta on Tuesday that to overcome this condition, the Indonesian government and business people should take an action. According to Sandiaga, the Indonesian government should be able to restore confidence in global markets to Indonesia.
I
think we have to prepare ourselves with all stakeholders. The government must restore confidence to the Indonesian market because fundamentally Indonesian economy still potential, but it needs hard work from the business sector and government in creating policies to restore the trust.
Dalam menciptakan policy-policy yang bisa mengembalikan kepercayaan itu.
Furthermore, Sandiaga said that he is not sure that current economic condition in Indonesia will improve in the near future, mainly due to external factor and market mistrust towards the infrastructure in Indonesia. He added the government should encourage business people to talk and to find solutions together. Sandiaga also pointed out that 90% of Indonesian gross domestic product GDP comes from business people. Indonesia will chair the Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA for the period 2015-2017. It will lead IORA in October 2015 after the handover of the chairman seat from Australia to Indonesia in Padang, West Sumatra. Director for Intra-Regional Cooperation for Asia, Pacific and Africa at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Benjamin Scott Kennedy, said at a press conference at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia wants to make IORA be relevant to current issues and will put six main priorities, especially related to economic and maritime issues.
Visi yang utama adalah kita ingin tentunya menjadikan IORA.
The main vision is we want to make this IORA still relevant, become a strategic partnership that also promote the institutional consolidation, promoting the cooperation in six priorities, namely maritime security, trade and investment, fishery management, disaster risk management, science and technology, and academic cooperation related to research and development, and the tourism cooperation as well as cultural exchange. These are all things that I think are important for Indonesia, connecting with the development in Indian Ocean and current issues.
Dikaitkan dengan perkembangan di Samudra India dan ke isu-isu kekinian.
According to Benjamin Kennedy, the current issue that will be focused of Indonesia and Indian Ocean Rim Association are irregular movement of persons, illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, as well as the cooperation in humanitarian and natural disasters. The top event of IORA 2015 will be conducted in Padang, West Sumatra from 23rd October 2015, with several meetings among others Indian Ocean Academia Group, while the meeting will which will take place in Jakarta on the same month, is the Indian Ocean Rim Business Forum meeting in conjunction with the Trade Expo Indonesia 2015. The Indian Ocean Rim Association was established in March 1997, which aims to promote the sustainable economic and liberalization, which consists of 20 member countries from the Indian Ocean and Australia. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro has said that the government is considering the possibility of establishing a stabilization fund to strengthen mitigation efforts to address the economic slowdown and to anticipate the possibility of an economic crisis in Indonesia. He said, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta recently, the government is preparing the plan. It will not be a large reserve fund, but a special fund to carry out stabilization efforts. It will be an emergency fund. It is just a concept that this will not be implemented in the near future. Minister Bambang said that in the theory, the stabilization fund would support the bond stabilization framework, BSF, which was one of the government mitigation tools used during the occurrence of capital outflow that could disrupt market stability. Some economists say El Nino is likely to occur in Indonesia in the next few months, and warmer weather conditions can weaken Indonesia's economy by driving up prices of certain crops such as rice and leading to an increase in imports. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has predicted that El Nino would happen this year from March to June in Asia-Pacific region. The phenomenon is created by an increase in ocean temperatures that typically lead to droughts or flooding across large parts of the world. El Nino normally brings warmer sea temperatures and increases precipitation to some regions of Indonesia. There could also be droughts that lead to forest fires and delay crop harvest, which would in turn create supply shortages and raise prices. Bustanul Arifin, agriculture economist at the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance INDEP, predicted that El Nino might occur in July or August, and that could affect the country's major crops. The government has launched the History of its Land in Indonesia, SKII, compiled by Directorate General of Culture at the Education and Culture Ministry to show that Indonesia's Islam is moderate. Historian Taufid Abdullah said in Surabaya's Cabang Tuesday, quoted by Antara News Agency, that Islam practice in Indonesia is better than the practice in Saudi Arabia because it does not result in Islamic State organization or IS, Al-Qaeda or other movement that accuse fellow Muslims of being non-believers. Speaking at the booth launch at Surabaya Erlangga University UNAIR, he explained that Indonesian Islam was not Islam in Indonesia, but Islam in the style of Indonesia. He said he praised the SKII book because books on Indonesian Islam normally tell about Islam in Java, but this book really informs about the perspective of Islam in Indonesia and has 5 volumes, starting with the historical roots, intellectual tradition, institutionalization, and literature or arts. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Igede Nyoma Wiramaja, Director General for Oil and Gas at the Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry, said that the government would gradually remove fuel subsidy. This policy is the basis of the proposed permanent subsidy for diesel fuel, locally known as solar, at ₹1,000 per liter in the 2016 state budget, the same as this year. Wiramaja said on Tuesday that the permanent subsidy is ₹1,000 per liter because he perceived that the projection and consumption of the lower society still need subsidies. Due to that reason, the government does not propose to increase the permanent subsidy for solar in 2016 state budget and will slowly remove fuel subsidies. The House Energy Commission has approved the proposed permanent subsidy for solar, but the Indonesia Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP faction, noted the subsidy could be increased to ₹1,500 if global oil prices rose. Great Indonesian Movement or Gerindra Party faction also asked to increase the subsidy to ₹1,200 with the same considerations. The government will increase fuel supply between 5 and 20% to anticipate swelling consumption during Pasti month and Eid al-Fitri holidays. The daily supply of premium gasoline, liquefied petroleum gas LPG and after will be lifted gradually starting during the Pasti month, which begin next week. This was expressed by Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Oil and Gas Director General Igede Wiratmaja Fuja. He said that the average increase for premium gasoline will be 70.8%, taking average supply to 89.5
1,870 kiloliters per day, up from 76,258 kiloliters per day, 10% per after taking it to 12,701 kiloliters, up to 11,534 kiloliters per day, and 5% per LPG up to 20,782 tons per day from 90,794 tons per day. Virat Maja said the increase will vary in different areas because there are areas with higher consumption, particularly those located along the routes to the annual Idul Fitri exodus. Meanwhile, for diesel fuel, the supply will not be increased. Instead, it will be reduced by around 10% to 33,250 kiloliters per day from its usual supply of 37,228 kiloliters per day. Indonesian female shuttler Linda Winawanesri helped line up hope for Indonesia when she defeated Malaysian counterpart Ti Jing Yi in two sets with 12-21 and 10-21 on Tuesday, June 11th. Linda said that her victory has helped pave the way for the team. However, Linda's expectations crumbled as double players Anggia Sita Awanda and Niketu Mahadewi Istaran failed to win against Hu and Hun Ki from Malaysia. They failed loss in three sets of 21-18, 19-21 and 11-4. In addition, women's singles shuttler Hannah Ramadini also lost to Yan Mei Ho in the three sets of 21-19, 11-21 and 21-13. Female double players Sujir Whisky Andini and Marita Dea Giovanni, Indonesia last hope in the women's competition, also lost to Amelia Alicia Anseli and Sun Fin Cho in three sets of 21-15, 19-21, 13-21. As a result, Malaysia snatched a grand final ticket after winning 3-1 over Indonesia. Liu Sponga, Indonesian badminton team manager, said that his players had done their best. The last item, how Singapore leaned out of Southeast Asian Games football tournament on Tuesday after slumping to 1-0 loss to Indonesia that completed the semifinal lineup. Midfielder Evan Dimas scored the only goal in the 46th minute as the country was banned by World Governing Body FIFA last month for government interference in the football association. Under 23 side was only allowed to compete in Singapore as the ban had come after the tournament had started. Singapore needed to win the fixture to leapfrog its opponents and finish second in the pool behind already qualified Myanmar, but its lone ball gain plan was easily nullified on the Astronaut at Jalan Besar Stadium. The hustling hopes were all but ended when left back to Huai Lund was shown in a second yellow card in the 65th minute for a mistimed challenge. Next, Indonesia will face hot favorites Thailand in the last four at 55,000 seat National Stadium on Saturday after Myanmar takes on Vietnam early in the day at the same venue. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Australia sends back its ambassador to Jakarta. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has sent back his ambassador, Paul Gritson, to his post in Jakarta. Prime Minister Tony Abbott said that the relations between Indonesia and Australia are getting stronger, although there was tension due to the execution of two of his citizens. He argued that the withdrawal of his ambassador was an expression of Australian sadness on the execution. But the reason to send back Gritson to Jakarta is that Australia does not want the incident to permanently hamper the important and friendly relations. Ambassador Paul Gritson has returned to his post in Jakarta since Monday of this week after he was withdrawn to Canberra for about 40 days. That was done after Indonesia ignored Australian requests to cancel the execution of two Australians, Andrew Chand and Muran Sukumaran, in April. Besides the two men, Indonesia also executed five other foreigners. President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia was in emergency narcotics. Actually, bilateral relations began to improve before the implementation of the execution, after the lowest level at the end of 2013, when the telephone tapping scandal over Indonesian officials was revealed, including Indonesian sixth president Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
Indonesia decided to withdraw his ambassador from Canberra and delayed a number of cooperation, including efforts to stop smuggling of boat people in to Australia. But on Wednesday, the Australian newspaper, the Sydney Morning Herald, reported that Australia paid Indonesian boat crew to return to Indonesia. It happened at the end of May 2015. A ship's captain admitted transporting boat people from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka and Myanmar. They wanted to seek asylum in New Zealand instead of Australia. On their way, they entered Australian waters and were intercepted by Australian Navy and Australian Customs. On the boat, they make negotiation and Australian side gave some money. Then the boat returned to Indonesian waters and was stranded on the island of Rote. As the boat people arrived, they were detained on the charge of human smuggling. It was expressed during an investigation into this case, which was being conducted by the security authorities in East Nusa Tenggara. Testimony: an asylum seeker gave testimony that one of the crew would return to Indonesia because Australia paid the boat people. This news was known by New Zealand because the asylum seekers sent a letter about money granting to the government of New Zealand. Indonesians might be more cautious in responding to this issue, on which the bilateral relations of both countries start restoring. Responding to whether the issue can trigger tense relations with Indonesia, Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir said, "If it's true, it is very alarming." Nasir added that the case cannot be confirmed officially, and currently an investigation is being conducted by the local police. Australian side tends to be silent over this latter case. Australian Immigration Minister Peter Dutton still declines to answer the allegations reported by Fairfax Media this week. Listener, that was Commentary Today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from June 12, 1964, South Africa sentenced to life imprisonment to Nelson Mandela. The leader of anti-apartheid fighting group in South Africa, Nelson Mandela, was sentenced to life imprisonment by court judges in Pretoria. Nelson Mandela was found guilty of sabotage against the government at that time. Besides Mandela, other seven anti-apartheid fighters were also sentenced to life imprisonment. Mandela was sent to Robben Island prison off the coast of South Africa. It is very bad condition of prison. Mandela was only permitted to receive one visitor every 6 months. Every day, he was forced to break rocks in the prison yard 4 hours. During that time, Mandela became the most famous political prisoner in the world. Leaders around the world demanding freedom for Mandela. They wanted the apartheid regime in South Africa terminated immediately. In 1982, the government moved Mandela to his mainland. This removal, as many people protest against the apartheid regime in the country. After nearly 27 years as a prison inmate of Robben Island, Mandela was finally freed in 1990. On June 12, 1990, an independence general election firstly held in Algeria. The first independence general election in Algeria, and the counting result noted the Islamic Front Party of Algeria, which is also known as Le Front Islamique du Salut, or usually called the FIS, won the biggest vote. FIS succeeded to lead more than 54% from the total of votes, while the ruling party, the National Liberation Front, has not less than 28%. With a victory, the FIS party has the right to control and specialty at the most authority in several cities. However, the victory was cancelled by the ruler, who was supported by the military. Due to the cancellation, Algeria was hit by riot and violence, which resulted of many casualties. We conclude with an event on June 12, 1991, Boris Yeltsin chosen as the Russian president. Boris Nikolaevich Yeltsin was a Russian politician and the first president of the Russian Federation, serving from 1991 to 1999. Originally a supporter of Mikhail Gorbachev, Yeltsin emerged under the perestroika reforms as one of the Gorbachev's most powerful political opponents. On May 29, 1990, he was elected the chairman of the Russian Supreme Soviet. On June 12, 1991, he was elected by popular vote to the newly created post of President of the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic, or RSFSR. At that time, one of the 15 constituent republics of the Soviet Union. Upon the resignation of Mikhail Gorbachev and the final dissolution of the Soviet Union on December 25, 1991, after which the RSFSR became the sovereign state of the Russian Federation, Yeltsin remained in office as president. He was re-elected in the 1996 election, where critics widely claimed pervasive corruption. In the second round, he defeated Gennady Zyuganov from the revived Communist Party. However, Yeltsin never recovered his early popularity after a series of economic and political crises in Russia in the 1990s. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Focus. And for today, we'll talk about Indonesia is able to keep the fluctuation of shares and global foreign exchange. Listener, Indonesia cannot avoid from the fluctuation of shares and global exchange rates and other external factors as well. Build up of foreign exchange reserves could be one of the main weapons. Investment, climate, and infrastructure need to be improved to stimulate the flow of foreign investment. Because foreign investment that is entering to Indonesia are often constrained by infrastructure. With the effort, Indonesia would have a strong economic structure, including ownership of foreign reserves of foreign investment into Indonesia. Deputy Country Director of Development Bank of Indonesia, Edimon Ginting, in Jakarta Wednesday said, proper economic planning and direction are very important. Edmond added, other things are also essential in the current economic condition is improving export. Effort to increase non-oil export could be done by convincing foreign investors to make Indonesia as an export-oriented investment base. Therein lies the problem of Indonesia, which is still not able to realize the economic potential. In fact, if this effort do, Indonesia will have a solid source of economic growth in the country. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Simparani, has similar opinion. External factors cannot be avoided because it occurs globally. As for the internal side, some anticipation steps have been done, both for short-term and long-term. Therefore, the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, makes effort to attract investors with direct sales overseas. While for the internal sector, a number of measures have been carried out, one of them through the proposal for a wage increase formula. Frankie said the Indonesia's strong condition fundamentally will encourage the entry of foreign investment funds that strengthen foreign exchange reserves. Conditions of strong foreign exchange reserves will support the strength of the exchange rate, such as the Chinese yuan currency, backed up by China's huge foreign exchange reserves. Strong exchange rates applied for depreciation could potentially push inflation due to import. Although the weakening of the rupiah could increase export, Indonesia's foreign exchange reserves per May 31, 2015 amounted to $110.8 billion. The amount is equivalent to 6.8 months of import and government foreign debt payments. Meanwhile, economic analyst Anton Gunawan said the decline in the exchange rate has been expected due to the repatriation of funds out of the country, including to pay dividends. The weakening of the exchange rate is also due to the plan of the United States Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, raising its interest rates. Based on the exchange rate of Jakarta Interbank Spot Dollar Rate, the value of rupiah on Wednesday, June the 10th, 13,329 rupiah per US dollar. The position was strengthened compared to the position on Tuesday, which reached 13,362 rupiah per US dollar. Listener, that was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Tuesday, June 12, 2015. I'm Dalat Pane. We start with Kompas newspaper. Kompas in its headlines writes, Trans-Java comes to a reality. The Cikopo-Palimanan toll road in West Java, which is 116.75 kilometers long, will be completed. The Cikopo-Palimanan toll road makes dreams of Trans-Java toll road comes to a reality. Currently, from Merak, Banten to Pejagan in Central Java has been connected. President Director of PT Saratoga Investment Sedaya, Sendaga Uno in Jakarta, on Thursday said the Cikopo-Palimanan is ready to be unveiled by President Joko Widodo. Media Indonesia in its headlines writes emergency on child protection. Taking a lesson from the case of Angeline, who was killed by the housemate of her adoptive parents, who allegedly abandoned her, the community asks to be sensitive and concerned about the violence that may occur in their environment. Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yambise, in Jakarta on Thursday said, Angeline's death is a warning to countries that no longer absent in protecting children from violence. While Republican newspaper writes, Finance Minister says it is a difficult year. The government admits it currently faces difficult economic condition. It is marked by slowing economic growth and the exchange rate against the US dollar, which is still no sign will be strengthened. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro in Jakarta on Thursday said, he does not turn a blind eye to the economic slowdown. But most importantly, according to Bambang, the government seeks to overcome the economic slowdown. We end the headlines with Business Indonesia. It writes, Indonesian bond market is in the yellow light position, marked with the soaring of sovereign debt that yields Indonesia the highest in Southeast Asia. The rising trend is expected to last until the volatility of the rupiah against the US dollar eases. Well, listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar continues to weaken. Early this week, the value of rupiah had reached 13,362 rupiah for one US dollar. Indonesia will chair the Indian Ocean Rain Association IORA for the period of 2015-2017. It will lead IORA in October 2015 after the handover of the chairmanship from Australia to Indonesia in Padang, West Sumatra. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro has said that the government is considering the possibility of establishing stabilization fund to strengthen mitigation efforts to address the economic slowdown and to anticipate the possibility of an economic crisis in Indonesia. Some economists say El Nino is likely to occur in Indonesia in the next few months, and warmer weather conditions can weaken Indonesia's economy by driving up price of certain crops such as rice and leading to an increase in imports. The government has launched the History of Islam in Indonesia, SKII, compiled by the Director General of Culture at the Education and Culture Ministry to show that Indonesia Islam is moderate. Igede Nyoma Wiramaja, the Director General for Oil and Gas at the Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry, said that the government would gradually remove fuel subsidy. The government will increase the fuel supply between 5 and 20% to anticipate swelling consumption during Pastiman and Eid al-Fitri holidays. Indonesian female shuttle Linda Winnie Vanetri held line out hope for Indonesia when she defeated Malaysian counterpart Ti Jeng Ying in two sets with 12-21 and 10-21 on Tuesday, 11 of June. How Singapore limped out of the Southeast Asian Games football tournament on Tuesday after slumping to 1-0 loss to Indonesia that completed the semifinal lineup. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Yeah. send your answer along with your brief bio data, as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Ngelap tradition in South Lampung. So stay tuned. Saban month of the Islamic calendar will come to an end. That means Ramadan will arrive soon. Welcome to this blessed month. Various unique traditions carried out by the Indonesian Muslim community during this month. One of them is Ngelap tradition performed by Kalianda community in South Lampung. In this tradition, people bathing in the Kalianda Sea with the intention to purify themselves before fasting in Ramadan. Thousands of residents from various regions in South Lampung Regency, especially in Kalianda, crowded the beach in the coastal area of the Raja Basa sub-district. Residents held ngelap tradition or cleaning bodies for the holy month of Ramadan. This tradition is carried at the Kalianda beach from afternoon until sunset, coinciding with the change of date in the month of Ramadan. The time is usually ahead of the mid-afternoon or about 1500 West Indonesia Standard Time until before the afternoon prayer times arrives. All people, children and adults participate in this tradition. They take a bath at the seaside. After bathing, they usually play on the beach. Ngelap tradition has been doing since many years ago until today, and this tradition has become part of life of the residents of South Lampung to welcome the fasting month. By bathing in the sea, they hope to purify themselves before fasting in Ramadan. Residents also believe by running ngelap tradition, they can fast for a whole month without any interruption. After bathing in the sea, thousands of community of South Lampung Regency also held Bancakan tradition is a tradition of eating together at the seafront while doing a love tradition. Banchakan is a tradition of gratitude for God's grace. Another meaning of Banchakan tradition is building relationship and to forgive each other before the holy month of Ramadan. Like ngelop, Banchakan tradition has also been done for generations. Usually this is done through the third month of Hijr calendar until one day before the month of fasting. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Ngelop Tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me Rahma. Today's edition presents you Silat Golok Seliwa, Betawi traditional martial art. Golok is a sharp weapon which is often used by farmers to split wood and cut trees branch. However, in the hands of Husain bin Husni, golok can become a tool to defend ourselves. Silat Golok Seliwa has existed since hundreds of years ago. Now it is passed directly to Husain from his father. In an interview in an Indonesian private TV station, Husain revealed the reason that the first time he learned Silat Golok Seliwa martial art.
Waktu belajar itu karena saya berantem.
I started learning the martial art because at that time I fought with five people. Since then, I learned Golok Seliwa martial art from my parents. Once I could do it, I came back to find those people and I beat them. I keep learning until I master it. The point of this silat is using golok. It is accompanied with seliwa, which means readily stand, in which the position of feet and hands is opposite with each other, as Edwin Hidayat Abdullah, silat practitioner, explained.
Seliwa
has a deep philosophic meaning. Seliwa is a process in living a life. Silat Golok Seliwa is actually passed in Husain's family only. However, Husain is worried that if Silat Golok Seliwa is not known, it will be extinct. Therefore, since Husain became a master in Silat Golok Seliwa school, he allows anyone interested to learn Silat Golok Seliwa with a good aim. I teach this silat because I'm worried that if it will be extinct if I just keep it. It was for family only, but now anyone interested can learn it. It is so unfortunate if it is extinct. It is specially focused for Betawi people. Outsiders like silat, so we do not take it for granted instead. Silat is indeed the originally Indonesian martial art. although there are movements that are influenced by cultures which have entered Jakarta, every kind of silat has its own characteristic. In Silat Golok Seliwa, everyone who learned this silat has golok according to their body size for security reason. Silat Golok Seliwa also has another uniqueness. Golok movement is according to the quick movement. If audience do not really pay attention to golok movement carefully, you will only see the golok flash. This quick movement depends on the opponent's power. Hopefully, the effort of Hussein in preserving Silat Golok Seliwa will be realized. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on Silat Golok Seliwa. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian male dangdut singer, Joni Iskandar. To begin the program, here is a song entitled Secangkir Kopi, or A Cup of Coffee. Happy listening.
Let's go.
Listener Joni Iskandar, a dangdut singer who was popular in 1980s to 1990s, has songs which are familiar to dangdut lovers. Some of them are Bukan Pengemis Cinta, Judul-Judulan, Bibir Kuda, and many other hits. Surprisingly, Joni spent most of his young age in pesantren or Islamic boarding school. The man born in 1960 studied at Pesantren Zainul Hasan or Zaha Genggong, Pajarakan District, Probolinggo Regency in 1973 to 1977. Well, listener, next song that we play is Pengemis Cinta, still by Joni Iskandar. Check this one out. Listener, Joni Iskandar did not want to waste his knowledge in the pesantren. He made an album for Pesantren Zaha Genggong, and most of the songs were composed by Kiai Haji Hasan Saifur Rizal. There was prayer specially read by Kiai Hasan Saifur Rizal in the end of the album, released in 1980. After finishing study at pesantren, Joni was engaged in dangdut music world and often show up on TV. Then Joni mostly performs off-air, compose songs, and handle business like mushroom business, goat cattle, and freshwater breeding. Alright, listener, to end our program, let's listen to two songs by Joni Iskandar entitled Dosa Kau Anggap Madu and Ada Nda Ada. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in another Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
Butakah mata hatimu sehingga
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.